G'day, Pete. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. Great to see you again. This is a tricky one this week, and we've got a few myths and realities. What's the truth and what's the fact and what's the myth?
I love this, though, because there's some research done that says people like, or they feel that their brain can get around the kind of top five of something. Mm. The top five is top five of that. And this is sort of similar to that. You've got sort of five or six myths or realities here. 1-300-662-279, if you've got any confusion about a particular food, give us a call right now. So where do we go? Are these in order of importance, Pete?
Well, no. I've just picked these off the top of my head, and I think if anyone has got anyone that they're a little bit confused about, then feel free to ring in, because I think it's a good chance to have a discussion on it. But the first one we've got, which is a little bit controversial, which is a lot of people suffer from heart disease, and they may have been told that, well, you've had a heart problem, so you cannot eat eggs. So what do you think? Is that true or is that not true?
Well, to be honest with you, I've got no idea, because I've never suffered from heart disease.
Let's hope you don't, yeah. but certainly years ago we used to warn people that they shouldn't eat eggs, but the latest data is saying that it's safe to eat up to 6 eggs a week. So the Heart Foundation put out a definitive statement recently saying if you follow a healthy, balanced diet and you want to eat eggs, eggs are an excellent source of protein, and they have a whole variety of things, not only for your general health but for your brain function. They're very filling food, great source of protein. 6 a week is about the right amount.
That's like 2-3 times a day. Although if you happen to be one of those people who adheres to that topic we discussed a while ago, that eating eggs, some research in the morning showed that eating
that's
eggs
exactly
in the morning
right.
gives
yeah.
you a bit of a kick along mid-afternoon.
That's exactly right. Yeah, some of those studies showing that the hunger hormones are a lot lower for those who eat eggs in the morning. They're a lot lower in the afternoon. So those people who suffer from that afternoon craving, what can I eat, what can I eat, try eating eggs for breakfast, and you might find that actually settles down.
Maybe one a day if you suffer from heart
disease. I think 6 a week is fine. If you want to have 2 at a time, that's fine. But certainly, as long as you don't exceed that guideline, I think we should be fine.
Let's go to a caller. Pete's given us a call from Grafton, a question on protein and carbohydrates. G'day, Pete.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. What would you like to ask Peter?
All the dietary information all talks about carbohydrates, fats and proteins and the calories per gram, whatever. Nothing seems to ever be mentioned about alcohol. Why? Mm. Because it's a major consumption of people.
Great
and,
question.
A major dietary consideration.
Excellent point, Pete. And thanks for bringing it up. Yeah, look, the main calories that are in foods come from proteins, carbs and fats. So that's where they combined add up to the calories or the energy or the kilojoules that are in our diet. But as you've pointed out, we get a lot of calories from alcohol. Now, the vast majority of alcohol, apart from beer, doesn't contain any of those macronutrients. So it doesn't contain fat, doesn't contain carbs, or it doesn't contain protein. Beer does contain some carbohydrates, but where the calories come from alcohol is the ethanol has calories in it. And so when you drink alcohol, you can put on weight even though you're not consuming fats, proteins or carbs just because of the calories that are in the alcohol. And in fact, what our body does when we drink alcohol is it uses those calories first. So if you drink alcohol and then you eat a meal and the total calories in the alcohol in the meal is more than what your body needs, then it will store the calories from the food and use the calories from the alcohol.
Wow.
So that's why when people drink a lot of alcohol, they can gain weight because they get a lot more calories they need. And we also know that alcohol stimulates your appetite, so you tend to nibble a bit more when you've had a few drinks.
Got the munchies.
That's exactly right. And so we've got to be a little bit careful with alcohol. Alcohol is one of the pleasures in life, and there's some studies that show that if you drink 1 to 2 standard drinks 5 days a week, you live a bit longer. So those who drink a moderate amount of alcohol actually have longevity compared to those who don't drink at all or those who drink in excess. But you've got to make sure that it's in moderation.
How about that, Peter?
Yeah, I was just wondering why it never appears on any of the books and things. You know, they all go about the carbohydrates and fats and proteins
yeah,
and what their
excellent
level
point,
of,
excellent you know, point. Yeah, I agree with you, Pete. A lot of diets do focus on, well, should we have a low-fat diet or should we have a low-carb diet or whatever it may be, and not as much emphasis on alcohol. But certainly for those who drink, it is a major factor with your weight.
Peter, is it because alcohols ain't alcohols? It's different for beer than it is for wine, as it is for spirits, as it is for liqueurs?
Sure. Well, certainly alcohol, except for beer, alcohol doesn't contain any fats, carbs or protein. And so a lot of people talk about alcohol as empty calories. It doesn't sustain you, but it does add to your weight. And so we've got to be a little bit careful on how much we drink.
There we go. How about that, Peter?
Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. 1-300-66-2279 if you'd like to put a question to our nutritionist, Peter Clark. Peter, vegetable oil. There's controversy surrounding vegetable oil.
This is a tricky one. You'll see in a lot of places they promote that they use vegetable oil and which is cholesterol free. And so the inference that using vegetable oil may mean that it's better for your heart health because there's no cholesterol in it. Well, cholesterol only comes from animal-sourced products. So by definition, vegetable oils don't contain cholesterol. And so the fact that there's no cholesterol in vegetable oil doesn't really mean too much. That our blood cholesterol in our heart health, when we're worried about our heart health, is driven more by the saturated fat content of food, not so much by the amount of cholesterol that's in food. It's only a very small proportion that impacts our blood cholesterol by the amount of cholesterol we eat. The thing we've got to be more focused on is saturated fat. So when something says that vegetable oil contains no cholesterol, that is true, that it does contain no cholesterol because it's not an animal-sourced product. But the inference that it's better for you is not so true.
Goodness me.
We need to be sticking. If you want to stick to oils, olive oils or canola oils are probably the better option.
Okay, let's go to milks and skim milk. Is it better for you than full cream milk
this
or not?
This is a tricky one as well. What do you think, Michael?
Well, I think it depends whether you need what's in full cream milks, like calcium and some of the minerals in there.
Yeah. Certainly, it does depend on your age. Generally speaking, the guidelines now say that anyone over the age of 2 should be having a low-fat milk.
Really? Okay?
Yeah, because heart disease is one of the biggest killers in Australia.
I can't stand it. It's so thin and...
Well, certain milks are. Yeah. Skim milk is a lot thinner than low-fat milk. Just the low-fat milk that's sold in most of the supermarkets, the 97% fat-free milk, that's the milk that I generally recommend. Those who want to use skim milk, it's even lower calories. And the question was that, does it contain less calcium? And it certainly doesn't. In fact, skim milk contains more calcium per 250 mils than full cream milk.
So calcium is good for you?
Calcium's great for you. And most people, when they're drinking milk and drinking dairy products or eating dairy products, tend to want to make sure that they're getting an adequate amount of calcium because we do know that dairy products are our best source of calcium.
Yeah.
And so... So if you're worried about your bone health, you may be osteoporosis or osteopenic and you're thinking, well, maybe I need to stick to full cream milk because that's got the best source of calcium, I'd say au contraire, Pooh Bear. Go with the low-fat things. They're better for your heart and they contain more calcium. Okay. So skim milk is fine and it's a good source of calcium.
Well, next time I find Pooh Bear at my fridge.
Au contraire, Pooh Bear.
I'll point him to the skim milk.
That's it.
Let's ask about salt. I'm going to have a stab at this question. Gourmet salt, is it better for me than plain salt? I would say no.
No. And you're right.
So salts is salts.
Salts is salts is salts. Mm. Unfortunately, most of us consume a bit too much salt. The average Australian's consuming about 4 grams of salt a day and we only need about 2.3 grams. So most of us, just with the diet we eat, there's salt in a lot of foods we eat. Things like bread contains a lot of salt. A lot of processed foods contain a lot of salt. Go to a restaurant, they'll be putting a lot of salt in the food to enhance the flavour. And so we're eating a bit more salt than what we need. What's that matter? Well, it impacts our blood pressure. Okay, so the higher the salt in your diet, the higher your blood pressure. There's enough salt in the food you're eating. Some of the gourmet salts are promoted as having more vitamins and minerals and a whole range of things. And those things have an element of truth to them, but are they better for you? I'd say no.
Yeah. 1-300-66-2279 if you'd like to put a question about some confusion or uncertainty about a nutritional aspect. 1-300-66-2279. Pete, another one here. Healthy foods are cheaper to cook than convenience or takeaway foods?
Yeah, this is one I get a lot.
Really?
A lot of people talk to me and they say, well, you know, I can go to a takeaway restaurant down the road and I can buy a meal package thing for $5.95 or things like that. And so they tend to do that. And So it's a little bit controversial. There's been some studies done. In fact, there was a study done not so long ago, looked at the price of those convenience foods and the filling power of those convenience foods versus a more balanced diet where you tend to eat good sources of protein, things like eggs and lean meats and chicken and fish and a lot of vegetables. And the study showed that if you eat that type of diet, so that more Mediterranean type diet that we've talked about a number of times before, tends to cost people about a quarter less.
Really? Okay? Quarter less, yeah.
And that's because those foods fill you up a lot more. And as we're talking about with eggs before, a lot more filling when you eat eggs in the diet. But when you eat a lot of these takeaway foods, they don't tend to fill you up as much. And so you tend to need to snack on more things after it.
Okay. So it's not necessarily more expensive to cook.
No, in fact, the studies are saying that, you know, if you want to do a more economic meal, then add more vegetables to your diet. And we do know that most Australians don't eat enough vegetables.
Okay, now I'm holding in my hand here, this is a yogurt container with a peach on it, and there are low-fat yogurts. Are they any better for you, or higher or lower in any particular element?
This is another controversial topic, and what we found in the 90s is a lot of the whole diet focus started to go on to low-fat foods. And so a lot of manufacturers took the fat out of their foods because they wanted to align with the fact that people wanted a low-fat option. But what they found is that the taste went out of the food a lot when you take the fat out. So what they did is they snuck a bit of sugar in there. Okay,
yeah.
So it tasted just
or
as good.
Or even salt,
yes. Exactly. So it tasted just as good, and it was low fat, but it wasn't necessarily better for you because it had the same amount of calories. And certainly a lot of yogurts are promoted as low-fat yogurts, but they are low-fat, high-calorie yogurts. And there's a momentum recently where people are saying, well, maybe we're eating too much sugar in our foods, and so maybe we need to be switching back to full-fat foods that are low in sugar. And I'd say it really does depend on the overall calories that are in the food. So not all low-fat foods are high in sugar, and not all low-fat foods are low in calories. And you've got to look at the total calories in something.
Okay. Now, this yogurt, just do a précis there for me because it's about 392 calories for 100 grams. That's about 175-gram container, so that's about 750 calories.
That's right. So anyone who's got a food label, the best way to look at how to read a food label is to go to the far right-hand column on most labels, which is the per 100 grams. Energy is king. So the lower the energy content in a yogurt or a food, generally, if you're trying to keep an eye on your weight, the better that food is going to be for you.
This is kilojoules.
In kilojoules, exactly. A lot of times we talk about calories, but calories, the imperial term, kilojoules is the metric term. For yogurts, I tend to aim for less than about 250 kilojoules per 100 grams. This one's a little bit high.
Yeah, it is high. Well, it's not touted as a low fat. It's just a yogurt. However, fats look pretty low.
Yeah, the fat content on it in total fats is pretty good in this one. It's we aim for less than, so in yogurts we aim for less than 2 grams per 100, and this one's 1.9, so it fills that box. Saturated fat we tend to aim for less than 0.4 per 100, and this one's 1.2, so it's a little bit high. So something like this is reasonable in that the fat content is low and it meets the criteria. The saturated fat content's a little bit high, and so it has the propensity, because when we eat too much saturated fat, it has the propensity to push up our cholesterol. So we've got to be a little bit careful with that.
Is there, about 750 kilojoules I might have consumed there. Is there an average amount of kilojoules people should consume per day, or does it differ depending on your health situation and your
generally,
body weight?
It generally does vary depending on your body weight, but as a general guideline, and you'll see this number promoted in a lot of places, we aim for 8,700 kilojoules per day. So that's for most people. What I try to get people to do, if they're trying to lose a bit of weight, think of the weight that you would like to be, multiply it by 100, and that's how many kilojoules you've got to play with. So if you want to be 75 kilos, then we'd be aiming for 7,500.
I want 7,000 kilojoules.
You want to be 7,000 kilojoules.
And work backwards and say that I want to be 70 kilos.
And that's exactly right. Yeah. And so what we've got to do then is have a look at all of our meals in the day, and it's got to not exceed that number. So the point that Pete the caller made before about the calories are in alcohol, so a beer, for instance, has 650 kilojoules. So if you're looking at 7,000 kilojoules a day, each beer you're having may be a significant portion of that, even though it's adding no fats, proteins and carbs, which is what helps sustain you.
Do they have the per 100 millilitres of measurement on the side of beers?
In some beers they do. Yeah. In some beers, and certainly the government mandates what's needed to be provided by manufacturers, and that generally is something that there needs to be more emphasis on. But you just got to be careful on what you need to do. Anyone who wants to understand this a little bit more, we've got a label reading card that we promote on our website, healthieryou.com.au. If you want to have a look at that, there's some information on that that might help you out.
Indeed. It's an area where there's no necessarily right or wrong. It's all shades of grey, really.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you've got to be careful as you go along.
Pete, thanks for joining us today.
One more myth.
One more?
Yeah. One more myth.
Oh, one more myth. Sorry. Okay.
The myth that was propensed, the sent around about a month ago is the Wallabies can't win the World Cup. Well, I want to say
is
that...
Is it going to be busted?
That is a myth that we will see next weekend smash.
Yes, and that might impact your health next Monday morning when you stay up and watch it.
That's exactly right, and consume a few drinks along the way.
Yes, and look on the side to find out how much you're adding to your total daily intake of kilojoules. Exactly. Quite a lot that day, I suspect.
Could well be.
Thanks, Pete.
All right, thanks, Michael. We'll speak to you next month.